Today, we're particularly going to talk a little bit about the Living Word Foundation because we want you to know what it's about and we want you to know what was done this past year because it's really exciting because of Living Word Foundation, the great things at this church that you were able to make happen, amen? Because we couldn't do this. So I'm going to just kind of start with the story of the beginning of last year. Actually, I believe it was before January, we were seeking God for Living Word, and I had been praying. We knew that at some point we're going to have to make a move, we're going to have to buy land, buy a building, and I had been seeking God about, God, how do we do this? How do you get the funds? You know, that every time we looked at a building, it was $1.3 million or $5 million or even to lease a building. It's just crazy, you know? And I knew that we couldn't do it with our own hands, even just with a normal congregation. It was a big task to take on. And so, anyhow, began to seek God for that. And anyhow, as I was praying, we are a network church with Wave Church in Virginia Beach. And God said to me in prayer, he said, go and see what Wave Church, go look at their site. Now, I wouldn't have thought anything to go look at their site of how they raise money for their building or anything. And so I went on their site, and they had what they called a Wave Foundation that resources the vision. And so I began to research it out, and the pastor of Wave Church in Virginia Beach, we go down there to their conferences. They have pastors' conferences. We've gone down there at different times and spent time with the pastor and his home, and they really connect, and they really help us. They help us with a lot of things. And so he used to be the CEO of Hillsong Church with Brian Houston. He ran everything, Pastor Steve Kelly. And the Wave Foundation came out of Hillsong Foundation, the plant, and that's how they build their buildings and start their churches. And it was totally God. It was totally birthed in prayer because I didn't have a clue how we were going to do this. We knew we didn't want to run to the banks, amen, and get a $1 million loan. I'd be up here every week saying, okay, guys. No. And so anyhow, right after that, so we started praying and we started preparing for Living Word Foundation. Well, it was like right after that, before the first of the year, Pastor got a word from God. And it was breaking barriers and doing the impossible. Amen? And how many of you know we did that this year? We broke some barriers. We did some things quick. And so anyhow, he got that word from God, and he began to preach on that, and God began to give him inspired messages. I know a lot of those messages are probably on our app from last year, and people begin to break barriers in their personal life and do the impossible, and we begin to step into, we begin to move ahead and start the foundation towards our new facilities. So that we kicked it off in February for the Living Word Foundation. We kicked everything off, and people got on board. We got pledges. Some of you have seen the books, Resourcing the Vision. We're going to have brand new books next week for Living Word Foundation. And so we knew that what we had to do couldn't just be with the tithe and offering. So this Living Word Foundation was above the tithe and offering. It was above, and so we had a goal to raise $250,000. Now at that time, we figured we had a couple of years, you know, to raise this funds, to buy land, to do what we needed to do. We were having three services on Sunday morning, but we figured we had some time to do that. Well, that was in February, but then in March, the owner of the building came to us and said, now God knows things. He's a divine setter-upper, amen? He's always got provision on the other side. He's always got an answer waiting for you somewhere. And so he knew what was going to happen because he knows all things, but we didn't know. We'd been in this building over 25 years. They've never asked us to move. But they came and they said, listen, we're medical marijuana people are coming in. Hello. They still haven't moved in that building. We prayed over that building. And anyhow, we had to be out, and we had to be out by July 1st. And we're like, July 1st? I mean, this is March. And we just started the foundation. I think we took maybe 1 month of pledges. And so we really had peanuts. And so anyhow, we began to look. And we looked everywhere in Brockton and Taunton and Easton, all in that area, because that's where we were, in Stoughton. We looked all over that area and for months, and we couldn't find anything. And then I believe it was, we finally found this place. I started going online, and I'm looking, and I just started to think outside the box. And so, and look in other areas. And we saw this place online and a couple of other buildings, and I just said, oh, that's so far, and, you know, so far to bring our people. So we mulled over it, we prayed over it, and in the middle of the night, one of the nights, the Holy Spirit awakened me and said to call this guy, whose name was Dave Mitchell, who was on the I don't even know what they call the different real estate sites. And I called him, and he wanted to show us this building. And anyhow, we came the day before we saw the building, so we drove up, and we, Pastor Ed and I, we got out of the car, and I can't even, to this day, I feel the anointing right now, I can't even explain what came on us. It was just, it was almost like an open heaven. It was like, it was the peace of God. It was like something we hadn't felt before. And so we knew this was the place, but we knew it was going to take a lot. And here we had to move in by July 1st. And so anyhow, we negotiated and started with $8,000. This has been a $400,000 build out, this building. We got $40,000 that we put down. I'm just making a long story short. We put a $40,000 down payment. The rest of it was rolled into the lease. And that's why our lease is $12,000 a month, just about $12,000. And and then we had to come up with another $36,000 for first security and last. And I'm telling you this because it was a miracle. We don't have 1,000 people. We don't have 300 people. I think we're just hitting 200 people now. But it was really God moving on the hearts of the people. It was God providing and God's provision. I mean, really, you guys need to give yourself a hand. So I wanted to share that story. So anyhow, we begin our journey, and we're going to show you some pictures of some of the things that have, I mean, honestly, now it hasn't even been this, what month is this? February? January. It hasn't even been a year since we've told we had to move. We did this in such a short time, and I don't think you guys realize what a miracle it has been. I mean, it takes people years to do stuff like this, or at least a year, and then the build out and so forth. So we're going to show you some pictures up here, and I hope I'm not in the way, but we started out. I thought we had the building pictures first. We're getting ahead of the. Okay, this is kind of like what the building looked like, and started out like this, and basically there was nothing here. I think we drove the owner crazy because, you know, it just was more and more the more we had to explain. We didn't want that pipe, but we had no choice. And so can you like slow up the pictures until I call them up? Okay, so here's the building. So the first event we had was a harvest party with our kids. And let me tell you why we do that, because we wanted to reach into the community. We didn't come moving slow, we came running, because the Bible says to run with the vision, amen? And so we started out, we had a harvest party, look at our little kids, and I'm telling you, we know how to run these things. When we did them in Brockton, we have up to 800 people show up. Amen. We did this on a small scale because we were just getting started over here. And then let's go on. The next thing was our thankful event. The thankful event was next. Hey, there we go. And here, look at everybody prepared all this beautiful food. People came from the homeless shelter. People came, this was for Thanksgiving. People came that had nowhere else to go. Single people, married couple. They don't have families. They don't have, and this that was our, and all of our young adults, our youth, put that on. Amen? Amen. And so then, you guys need to just get excited. I mean, this is an awesome thing. You made this happen. Hallelujah. Then there was the ladies' breakfast. And actually, at the ladies' breakfast, there were ladies that got saved. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we need to celebrate the things that God has done. And that was our first ladies' breakfast, and we'll be having another one in the spring. Then we had the wonder of Christmas, where we brought in hundreds of people. I mean, every night was packed. And look at the creativity, all the princesses and Olaf. And it was such a wonderful, a fun event. And it glorified Jesus. It glorified Jesus. Amen. Look at all of the people there. And we even had Santa there. Amen. Well, some people get religious about that, but Santa needs to get saved too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then we had New Year's Eve, Battle of the Decades event. And that, if you missed it, you missed it. We had them from the 50s, 60s, I don't think we had any 40s there, 70s, 80s, look at Pastor Mike and Laurie, they were dressing like the 70s, 90s, 2000, I mean, we had so many people there, and it was a really fun night, and many people came that won't even walk in the doors of a church, people came, amen? Isn't that pretty cool? There's the 2000s. There's the next church, guys. Hallelujah. So that was so much fun. And so, and then we had the next slide, which is, we're going to show you the figures on this, what happened, okay? Because I want you to know, I was reminded this morning by the Lord that we had three different pastors look at our finances at different times and say these words, these three people that don't even know each other, and say these words to us. We can't believe what you guys have done with the little that you've had. We have been faithful in what we've had, and that's why I know that the blessing is upon us. I think we're going to see great things in 2018. I believe we are. But the Total Living Word Foundation income, we had a $250,000 goal, but the total income was $107,057. You can see it up there, cents, $57. The amount spent on new facilities was $107,656. So you see, we went over, right? We went into the tithe and the offering. Amount spent on operations, Living Word Fellowship goal for 2017. The percent that came in was 42.82%. And the pledges, the Living Word pledges for 2017, the pledges were, I don't know, they got me a little confused here, but the percent of the pledges that came in was 92.7%. Because the pledges were 116,000, all right? So 92% of those pledges came in. But we only reached 42% of our goal of the 250,000. Did I make that clear? Okay, good. And so now the church, the tithe and offering, and we'll be talking a little bit about that next week, but was 315,000 for operating, staff, insurances, rent, all of that stuff, and we gave over $41,000 to other ministries, to the hurricane relief funds in Houston, in Florida, in so many different areas, to Israel. We're a giving church. Amen? We are a giving church. And you know what? When I say we, you did that. You did that. Amen? And so we always want to give out. Amen? No matter what. We can always say, well, we don't have enough to meet the budget. Now, I remember years ago when we first came back here, we had been told or learned from somebody that we should give the first 10% of our tithe and offering to missions, to outside of the church, to needs and stuff. And we also gave to many people to alms as well. And somebody came along and they said, you know, if you kept that here, you'd be able to meet your budget. How many of you know our faith isn't in our budget, but it's in God? We have a budget, but we have a supernatural God that helps us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we could not have done this. We could not have moved in this building and done all that we did in just the short months if without Living Word Foundation. We could have not done this with our regular tithe and offering. People gave over and above their tithe and offering and to make this happen. You did this. Amen? So you need to give yourself another hand. And I believe, truly, what we did. I mean, we talked to Don Brazo and different pastors, and they're like, man, you guys moved quick. God moved quick. We moved, and God moved with us. Sometimes we're waiting for God, and God's waiting for us. And many of you, you stepped up big time. And so we're going to be, next week, we're going to be talking about the vision of next year, what we're going to do in 2018. And the scripture that God had given me all through that time was in Nehemiah, where God said, and I know I didn't give you guys a scripture this morning, but God said, remember, there's a story in the book of Nehemiah, go ahead and read it, where they had to build the wall. They had to rebuild the wall for the city, and the enemy kept trying to get them off the wall, and Nehemiah had all the congregation, everybody helping them, and they kept trying to deceive him, kept trying to pull him off, and Nehemiah would just tell him, we are doing a great work, and we cannot come down, amen? And I believe we did a great work getting over here. I believe there are thousands of people in this area that God has already divinely set up for you and I to reach. I believe people are coming into this place from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I believe this is a lighthouse in the kingdom of God, and we are going to see incredible things this year. We're going to see people saved and healed and delivered. We're going to see lives changed, families healed. I'm telling you, we are going to see those things, and God wants you to be a part of that. He wants you to help make that impact. The finances is just one area, but we wanted to bring that out because we wanted to show you what we did. Together, what we did. It's crazy. You know, a lot of us, you know, we've been doing this for years, and we think, oh, yeah, we did this and we did that. But it was incredible what we did already, just in this place. And I believe we're going to see so many great things. And honestly, if you'll put your faith with mine, we'll begin to see it happen even more tonight. Amen? We'll see lives change. That's what it's all about. It's about life change. You know, we got Seth here, and Seth was serving, you know, he got saved, but he was backslidden. He was going back, and he was going forth, and he'd get into church, and he'd get out of church. Look at him now. He's part of the worship team. He's loving Jesus. He's got a great woman of God that he's going to be getting married to. His life has been changed through Living Word. Would you agree, Seth? Amen? And he was, we're not going to have him share it now, but he was sharing how even his testimony of being a partner with Living Word Foundation, and we'll have him share that sometime, you know, how it helped him, his finances, everything. You know what? God changes lives. Amen? He sets people free. And so this coming year, 2018, you know, we're going to ask you to come on board in a great way, to be a part of something big, to hook up with us, because you know what? We can do it better together. One can put 1,000 a flight, but two can put 10,000 a flight. When we hook our arms together, when we believe in one another, we are the body of Christ, and every joint supplies. You know, I read something, and somebody said, why do we have the local church? You know, the local church is the hope of the world. It's the greatest force on this earth. It's a better, you know, the task is greater than the governments and the universities and everything. It is. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, "Again, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus died for the church. Amen? And we ought to be the greatest entity on the earth. We're the ones that have the answer, and we have to believe that. Amen? And I know myself, if there wasn't a local church there in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, the church that I get saved in, when I went in there that night, there was about 40 people, and they were all old. I'm not kidding. But my best friend was going to church, and I was wondering, where are you? Where you been? And she said, church. And I said, church? And she said, yeah, you want to come? And I went that night, and I got dramatically saved. I had a radical conversion in one night. I mean, it wasn't like, Father, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me, you know, and he forgave me for my sins, and I'm telling you, it was, when I was hearing the gospel, my eyes opened, my life, I didn't care about those old people anymore. I just knew that Jesus died for my sins. I knew that he loved me. I knew that he cared for me. And it was because that local church was there, I was able to get saved. Amen? And so the local church is so important. People say, why can't my iPod be my worship leader and my tablet be my pastor? Because there's so many great, why go to church when there's so much great biblical teaching out there? You can find anywhere, you can go online. I'm telling you, that's not the way God designed it. God says in Ephesians, he gives you pastors and teachers. Everyone needs a pastor. An evangelist and prophets for the work of the ministry, amen. To train you for the work of the ministry, and I don't know where I am in my notes, but I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do, and we will not just have a good year; we are going to have a great year. Every seat will be filled. We're going to have to buy chairs to fill this place. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, every believer, Paul was always, he wrote letters to all the local churches. He was always encouraging the believers to be a part of a local church. In Hebrews 10:24, he wrote, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and the more as you see the day of drawing near." The day of seclusion is over. The day to connect and to grow and to be a part of something great is here. I'm telling you, everyone of us is going to meet Jesus face to face. You're going to meet him. I'm going to meet him. And you know what? My greatest desire, I mean, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I mean, I'm so thankful that I am not going to spend an eternity without God. There is a hell, folks. The Bible talks about it. And there is a heaven. But you know what? The moment I got saved, I just wanted to work for God. When people don't want to work for God or give to God, when I heard about the tithe, listen, when I met Pastor, he was living on love offerings when we married, and I was working two jobs. He took care of the bills, and he'd be writing out the tithe, and I'd be like, what the heck? Why are you giving all my money to the church? I mean, I was saved, but you know, that was my money. And he said these words to me, and back then I believed everything he told me. But he said, "This is our guarantee that God will always take care of us." And he has always taken care of us. And I'm asking this year, we're going to be asking you this year for your heart. We want the heart before we have anything. We want this to become your church. We want you to own it. We want you to feel like it's your home. Amen? And to become a part, to become connected, to do something great. But my greatest desire when I see Jesus is going to be, when I look at him, when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, the Bible says they that win souls will shine as the stars in heaven. And I did a series one time, and I made these big, had somebody make these big stars, and I put people's faces in them, you know? I mean, God loves people that care about souls. But if we win souls, where are we going to bring them? Oh, hey, guys, just go on this website and watch this guy. Or just, you know, here's an app to download to listen to the word. No, they got to come in and they got to connect. The time of seclusion is over. Let's rub arms. And I know for years people have been hurt, churches, crazy things. I remember when a man of God, and I won't say his name, fell. Like a man that I loved. I listened to him. I loved this man of God. And I remember when he did something and it was all over the news, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I was going to God in prayer, and God said, you know, I said, "God, how could he do this?" You know, because I still love this man today. And you know what God said to me? He said, "Don't ask me how somebody could do that." And when he said it to me by the Spirit, it was almost like, "Don't ask me or you'll find out." Like, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. But we let other things keep us from the greatness that God has for us. We let past hurts keep us from going forward. We just let those things happen. And so I'm telling you this morning, maybe you didn't sign up for the membership class. If you're interested, you need to come. You don't have to sign any. There's not going to make any commitment or anything. You're not going to make you feel uncomfortable. We just want you to come and hear what we're all about. It's going to be like probably 15 minutes after the service ends. It's going to be about an hour long. It's going to be in our office, and Pastor Ed and I will be in there, and we do the membership class, and you get to know us, and you get to ask questions. I just threw that out there, but that's not why I'm preaching this message. I want to tell you something else. I read this scripture this morning, and I'm almost done here. I know I got to hurry. What time is it? In Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, David said, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion." Now listen to this next script, this next part of the scripture. "When the brethren dwell together in unity, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing forevermore." God loves it when we come together in unity. God loves it when we believe in one another. God loves it when we're working together for his purpose to make something great come to pass. I want to share one more thing that's so important. You've seen our young people up here, and the worship team can get ready. And do I have a Kleenex in here? And tonight, you're going to see our youth worship team, our worship team. There's going to be a lot happening here tonight. But do you know Alex, who's our worship leader, was born in this church and raised up to become a worship leader? Our drummer, Michael, was born in this church. Our youth band, Victoria, Olivia, Jordan, they were all born in this church. Our children's workers, Maria and so many of them, were born in this church. Janai, and you know what? That's why it's important to have a local church. Because we bring up our kids. Hope was born in this church, and she's involved in the children's ministry, and some came in at young ages, but we are into raising up our kids to serve God. That's a great reason to have a local church. And I just want to close with these statistics, because we're going to be doing some great things with our children this year. And I looked this up today. It was just last minute. And it said, at what age is outreach most effective? How old are people when they get saved? And it brings out the scripture about Timothy's grandmother and mother and him in the Bible. But listen to these statistics. They're mind-boggling. I'll put my glasses on for this. And this is through the Nazarene Church Growth Research, the Bonner Research, and the International Bible Society. The age of 30 and above gets the people, the percentage of people that get saved is 4%. The age of 15 to 30, those that get saved are 10% when they first give their life to God. The age of 4 to 14 years old, 85%. 85%. That's why it's so important that we reach our young people. I wanted to bring that out just as a precursor, because we are going to be reaching young people. Amen? And honestly, if we didn't reach a lot of the young people that we've reached, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be doing the things. And I want to close with this. And I should have started this earlier, but the Lord showed me this morning. I went out and I shared it with my husband. The story of Moses, the Bible says that his parents looked at him and said, he looked different. He looked like a good baby. I can't remember the scripture now, exactly what it said, but he was a special baby. How many of you think your babies are special? Amen? But Moses goes into the Pharaoh, into the king of Egypt. He goes in there. He gets adopted by the daughter there. She pulls him in. How many of you know the story? And he becomes the prince of Egypt. He becomes this great celebrity. Hello. He's excited about what he's doing. But when he finds out that he's a Jew, and he finds out and sees his people getting treated bad, he goes and kills somebody and ends up on the back of the desert as a nobody. But as he's in the desert, the last part of it, and I was thinking, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I know when I got saved, I was like Moses. I just wanted everybody to be saved and was everywhere. I wasn't a celebrity, but I remember that. But then I felt like I went into the desert, not for 40 years, but for a while, for quite a while. But you know what? The last third of Moses' life, he did more for God than all the other two-thirds. God never changed his mind about Moses. He was the deliverer of the people. In the last 40 years of his life, he was used great and mighty by God. And you might think, you know, God, I messed up, or God, I don't know what to do, or God, I'm afraid to trust you, or I don't know if I should become a part of any church. You know, I'm telling you, you need to jump in the river. You need to obey God. God has had a plan for you from the foundations of the world. Amen. And we're about ready to go into victory. We're about ready to get the tambourines out with Miriam and get through the Red Sea. We're about to see the deliverance of New England and to see a mighty move of God all throughout New England. Amen? Come on, shout unto God. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're about to do in our lives. And we praise you for it tonight. In Jesus' name.